Well, Merry Christmas. That was good on the first try. Very good. Well, it is good to be with you this evening. Once again, if you're visiting, my name is Richie Cable, and I'm the pastor here. And I just wanted to share briefly with you concerning a couple of things that I think would be important for us this evening. And so if you have your bulletin, you'll be able to find that the text is written there on page 7 that we're going to look at this morning, which is John 1:1 and John 1:14. Anytime we have an evening event, I will say morning at least 5 times, so I apologize. If you are visiting, or if you haven't been here over the last several weeks at Gashen, let me bring you up to speed with a series that we have been in called Advent and the Soul. And really the candle lighting, I gave you a great overview of what that was like. And really what we did is we went through the last 5 weeks asking the question of, what does the reality of Advent say to the soul of the characters, and how can we apply it then to our own lives? And so if you're wondering what Advent means, it simply means kind of this time of waiting, the preparation for the coming of Christ. And so when we were looking at that, we looked at the prophets and we said, how does the reality of Advent answer our expectations that we have? We looked at Herod. How does the reality of Advent deal with our pride? We looked at Joseph. How does the reality of Advent deal with our dutifulness? We looked at Mary. How does the reality of Advent deal with our struggle of belief? And we looked at the shepherds this past Sunday. How does the reality of Advent deal with the weakness of our humanity? And now the celebration of the event is finally upon us. And so week after week, what we've sought to do is lay out the nativity scene, to lay out the characters who are the main players before us. We have seen the names there, the very familiar names. It's probably what's at your house, either in your yard or somewhere in your house. Maybe you have a picture of the nativity scene, right? So you have Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. We've talked about the inn that is full. We've talked about the manger with space available. We've talked about the baby and swaddling cloths. We've looked deeply at the Gospels of Matthew and Luke in chapters 1 and 2 of those books. And so we've seen the reality of Advent and what it's meant to the souls of the individuals as well as our own souls as well. And this evening, what I want us to ponder is this. What does the reality of Advent mean to the person of Jesus Christ? What does the reality of Christmas, if you will, mean to the person of Jesus Christ? In other words, if I were to ask you, what does Christmas mean to you, I'd probably get a lot of answers, right? You'd probably have some folks say turkey, right, or some sort of food, that it's, you know, family, because it's a great time of year where all the family comes together. Maybe for you, it's you're excited about the gifts, okay? Maybe in your house you got excitement of Santa Claus. Maybe it's, you know, time off from work, and that's what Christmas means to you. Maybe you've got, you know, just the idea of watching bowl games, right, over the next week. In other words, we say, what does Christmas mean to you? And we give a response, and probably with many of us here, it would also be celebrating, certainly, the coming of Christ, the birth of Jesus. But what if we were to ask Jesus the same exact question? And the question was, what does Christmas mean to you? And so we say, Jesus, what does Christmas mean to you? We've seen in Matthew and Luke the earthly event at the manger scene. And this evening, we have a passage that gives us the heavenly perspective of the manger scene. Okay, we've looked at the earthly perspective, but this evening we want to look at the heavenly perspective of the manger scene. Okay, and if you miss this evening, I think that you actually will miss quite a bit in regards to Christmas. And let me explain like this. Like many of you, as a kid, we were always so excited about Christmas morning, right? Like you all as well, we had certain traditions. Whenever I was a kid at our house in Conroe, Texas, we would always kind of, we'd get dressed, and that seemed to take forever to get the adults dressed, right? And we would go, and we would be excited, and we had a tradition. We would run into the stockings first, right? And we'd take the stockings, and we'd dump it out, and there before us were the smaller toys, right? Or you'd have, in ours, we often had, you know, all sorts of walnuts and pecans. We had, in ours as well, always some sort of fruit, all right? Because you got to be healthy on Christmas. And so there'd always be an apple or an orange, and so we'd run in and we'd dump it out. And then after dumping it out, we would dispose of the stockings and we'd go for the main event, right? For the tree. And that was part of our tradition. One year, my brother and I, we're especially excited to move on to the tree. And so we went in there to the stockings and we dumped it all out. We looked at all the stuff. We ran in there to the tree, kind of put all of our stockings to the side. And later on, a couple days later, we picked up the stockings, put them in the box, put them in the attic. And what we did not know when we put it in the attic is that something organic was left in one of the socks, right? There was a small apple in the toe of the portion of my older brother's stocking, okay? And I remember the next year, as we pulled out the Christmas boxes, and we were met with a surprise, all right? It was an interesting stench, but also, there was a large portion of the stocking's toe missing, having been consumed by the process of decay, right? So Merry Christmas. I remember seeing that stocking for the first time, and it was fairly grievous for me because, and my brother's here tonight. They're somewhere there. There he is. Yeah, he always had the best stocking. I loved his stocking. It was Santa, and Santa had this list of names, and you could read all these names on it. And I was sad that year because the toe now was gone. It was blown out, okay? And I remember thinking and looking at that and saying, you know, here is on this stocking a great contrast, right? A picture of Santa who's there, the joy, the good cheer of Christmas, and now it's meeting with the decay of the world, all on one stocking. You see, here's what I would argue this evening is that if we do not have the heavenly perspective, then here's what is going to happen. After tomorrow, there's going to be December 26th, right? Happens every year. And what happens on December 26th is kind of that sense that the toys begin to grow old, right? Then there's a time where the lights come down, where decorations get put away. But here's what I want to tell you this evening. If you and I can wrap our hearts around one main theme this evening, okay, then the true meaning of Christmas will stay with us all year round. And here's the other thing. I know that for some of you this evening, Christmas can be a very sad and depressing time as well. You're maybe grieving folks who are no longer here, no longer with you. Maybe relationships that are broken. And it can be a very sad and depressing time. But if you also will get the heavenly perspective this evening, I fully believe that the Bible teaches that will begin to fade, the struggles and the pain and the difficulty during this time. And that will begin to lose its grip on your heart because something else will have a grip on your heart. Let me read for us John 1, 1 and 14. I'm going to pray and just talk for a couple more minutes. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we thank You for the earthly events that we have been able to witness. Lord, it is incredible to see angels, to see Mary with having a baby, having been a virgin. We see Joseph, we see the shepherds. Lord, please give us perspective this evening as we look and we try to get heavenly perspective. What was going on, Lord, during this time? And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. We don't have time to look at everything in this passage. Very rich passage if you've ever studied the Gospel of John. It's got a lot there. And given that this is, you know, my attempt to try to have a sermonette instead of a full-fledged sermon, I want to focus on one thing, okay? One thing from the text this evening, one thing for us to walk away with as you go home tonight. In the very beginning of the verse, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Word. And for the remainder of our time, I want us to discuss that one theme by asking two questions. First, what is meant by the term Word? Okay, what is meant by the term Word? And secondly, why does John use this term Word? So what does he mean when he says, "In the beginning was the Word"? Okay, now if you've been in church for a while, you might know this answer, okay? What does he mean when he says the Word? Well, in the context of the next verses, we learn very quickly that he's talking about that the Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was Jesus Christ. And we learn several things. One, he was in the beginning, and it's not only in the beginning was the Word, but the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Okay? Very quickly, he's there in the beginning, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Word was with God. And you might say, well, wait a minute. I thought that's what we were celebrating, that Jesus came into the world. He was born in the manger. Well, Jesus Christ was born in the manger, but as the Son of God, he always preexisted. There never was a time where Jesus, as the Son of God, never existed. He was always there. And then he was also not just, in the beginning was the Word, he's also not just with God, but the Word was God. And so this gets into the Trinity. And so something else we don't have time to talk about this evening, but come back and we'll talk more about it, okay? He's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was in the beginning with God, all right? All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the Word, participated in the making of every single part of creation. So he was in the beginning, he helped with creation. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. All right, if you want to find life, in other words, it is found in the Word, Jesus Christ. All right, the person Jesus Christ, who is called the Word. He is the light of the world. So it's Jesus. He was in the beginning. He took part of creation. Now there's the question I want us to focus on, the final one for this evening. And the question is this. Why does John call him Word? Seems like a strange thing, right? It's a Greek word, logos. Okay, it's where we get our word logic. Why does he call him Word? And I would say that here is where we get the heavenly perspective, if we can think through this for the next couple of minutes, okay? Why doesn't he just say Jesus? Why does he say Word? Well, here is, I want us to think about this term Word, okay? What are the purposes of our words? What are the purposes of our words? I'm going to tell one more quick story. It's a holiday story, time of Christmas. All right, I was a kid. This is probably pre-stocking being destroyed, okay? So I was a kid, and we were making baked goods, and like probably many of you do, and we made baked goods for the entire neighborhood, and we wrapped them up, and my mom had my brother and I go, and we went, and we took them to every house, and, you know, their neighbors on the street, we took these little loaves of bread. It was our family's favorite recipe, absolute favorite. We loved this bread. Okay, and so we took it to everyone. There was the cute little card on it, Merry Christmas from the cables. We had the ribbon and all of this. All right, anyone do this kind of thing? Is it gone now? Okay, all right. Well, we held on to one of those loaves to enjoy on Christmas morning. And I remember after the gifts, we went into the kitchen, we opened the bread, and we started to cut it, and it about broke the blade of the knife. Okay? It was like cutting through a sun-dried brick, okay? To our horror, what we had happened, and we imagined kind of every house opening this and realizing it at the same point, what we realized that we had made a mistake. We had used regular flour in a recipe that had called for self-rising flour, right? If you've ever done that, or if you haven't done it, don't do it. If you've done it, you know what happens. It was probably the toughest, most rubbery thing that I've ever tried to eat. Now, what's compelling to me and interesting to me, and the thing that strikes me is that when I hear my parents tell that story, there's always a final comment that they share, a final thing that they say. And they say, you know, we just kind of put it up, we threw it away, and we didn't talk to anyone else about it. That Christmas, none of our neighbors came and said anything to us, right? There was no eye contact for a couple of weeks. Now, given some time to reflect on that, you know, here they didn't talk. There weren't any words that were shared. And I asked the question, well, why? Why didn't a neighbor come and speak a single word to us about the bread? Partly it is, you know, what are they going to say? You know, that bread was awful. They could say, hey, you know, thank you for the gift. But if they did that and they lied to us, we might respond, oh, good, you got it. Did you like it? And then what's going to happen, right? And so instead of engaging at all with words, right, because when that happens, if we engage others with words, what we really engage with them is a relationship, right? Words build relationships. If, however, I remain quiet and I don't use words, then I never have to engage this subject, right? I can avoid it. If I remain quiet, The problem is I also hinder the relationship. Okay? It's words truly are, it is the building block of relationships. It's the one way we get to know one another. All right? As one commentator puts it, words are ultimate means of self-disclosure. We are sharing who we are when we use words. Switch holidays with me for just a second, okay? Valentine's Day. All right, Valentine's Day, picture a young man and a woman sitting at a restaurant. And let's say that in hindsight, we know that they're going to be married someday, and there they are, Valentine's Day, on their first date. And what we see at the meal is lots of conversation, right? Lots of words. There's talking. They go out together, and they use words. They, you know, go get coffee after dinner. They use words. They walk around the park for a couple hours. They use words. They call each other on the phone. They use words. Words, 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 and more words. Words, again, are the building blocks of a relationship. And if there are no words, it's a dagger to a relationship. Case in point, if you ever want to hurt someone that you love dearly, what do? Give them a cold shoulder. You don't talk to them anymore, right? You take away the words. But where there are words, there is a relationship. In our text, God says this, "In the beginning was the Word," His Word, all right? And it was with God, but that's the problem. It was with God in heaven. And if we're to know anything about God, right, then we have to have Him use words. We have to have Him reveal Himself to us. If God gives us the silent treatment, then it's impossible to know Him, right? We can't know anything about Him. And now we have what I believe is a heavenly perspective of Christmas, okay? We have our answer to what Jesus would say to us if we were to ask, "What does Christmas mean to you?" Let me read verse 14. "And the Word," the Logos, the thing which puts us into relationships with others, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Notice that there are three Gospels that engage the manger scene. Matthew and Luke, as we've read all throughout the night. And then this, actually, John chapter 1, right here. This is the same scene. This is the manger scene. Talking about the exact same thing. Angels, Mary, the shepherds, Joseph. But now we're looking at the Word of God coming to us. The Word became flesh. And you see, if this is true, right, if this is true, that God's Word now, He is trying to become in, or put Himself in a relationship with us. If this is true, then we understand the phrase, "peace on earth, goodwill toward men," right? Because there was no peace if we did not know God, but now God has revealed Himself to us, and now we have God. And so Christmas is not a once-a-year celebration. Right? When we're talking about a relationship with God, it's not simply that we can have this sweetness of a relationship on December 25th, and it's lost when the decorations come down. No, this day that we celebrate, this scene of a manger, is God's Word to us saying, "I want you to know Me. I want you to know Me." And so He speaks to us and shows us who He is. It is this self-disclosure of God. All right? And it does not stop at Jesus' birth. But this boy grows up to be a man and to show the greatness of His love. He receives the penalty that you and I deserve. And again, we see something that we saw at the very beginning. We see the joy and good cheer of Christmas meeting with the decay of this world. And it is not in the deterioration of a stocking, but it is upon the cross of Christ. And you see, years ago, the deterioration destroyed the stocking. The decay won out over this Christmas cheer. But upon the cross, what you have is that the decay does not win out. The death does not win out. But the Christmas cheer, if you will, God's Word to us, being given to us at the birth of Christ through the person Jesus Christ, it wins out, and it is victorious. If you do not know Him this evening, if you refuse His Word to us, Jesus Christ, this evening, I'm afraid lives like that are full of December 26s and decorations coming down. And it's this whole world becomes similar to something in the Chronicles of Narnia, if you enjoy that series by C.S. Lewis. It is said of Narnia, which is analogous to our fallen world, It says, in Narnia, it is always winter and never Christmas. And Lucy says, that's awful. It's always winter and never Christmas. And yet, if you look to Christ, if you're trusting in Him this evening, then you need to know that what happened on Christmas Day is not something we only celebrate once a year. His word to us, His relationship to us, we celebrate all the time. It is God speaking to us in the deepest longing of our souls. We have been separated from God through sin in a relationship that we long for, and now the Christmas message tells us that God sent His word and that He is seeking a relationship with Him through His word, Jesus. Let me read now. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14, I'm going to pray for us. It says this. I want you to consider the heavenly perspective now as I close. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then listen here. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find His word." You will find His word. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Let me pray for us. Lord, as we continue in our final part of tonight's worship, Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here who has never looked to You and seen that Jesus Christ is Your word to them, a calling to them, that You desire a relationship with them, Lord, that is the heart of Christmas, that You became flesh, that You became the Word personified. Lord, would You open their eyes this evening? And Lord, for those of us who are here this evening who maybe are struggling with sadness or depression or difficulty during the Christmas season, Lord, we reflect, Lord, that though we may have lost relationships, that we have people who maybe have given us a cold shoulder, Lord, that You gave us Your word. You gave us Jesus Christ to enter into a relationship with us. Would You help them, Lord, during this season? And Lord, for all of us here, would we rejoice because of the wonderful gift that was given to us through Christ? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.